on the Central Coast. 1340 KYNS.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. No longer will members of the House and Senate be able to make insider trades because they know what's coming down the legislative pike.
The Senate vote gives final approval to a measure making clear members of Congress and their staffs cannot engage in insider trading and requiring more complete and faster reporting when they and other top federal officials buy and sell stocks. Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins.
Elective office is a place for public service and not private gain.
This measure languished for years until a 60 Minutes report on members of Congress profiting from information learned on the job. The Senate initially passed a tougher version, but the House refused to go along with it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Federal charges on top of the state charges that are sending a Mississippi teenager to prison for life for a hate crime.
A teenager who already pleaded guilty to state charges for running over a black man in his truck and two other white men have been indicted on federal hate crime charges in Jackson. The Associated Press says 19-year-old Daryl Dedman already received two life sentences on the state charges in the death of 47-year-old James Anderson. Sources told the AP Dedman, John Aaron Rice, and Dylan Butler were expected to plead guilty to the federal charges this afternoon.
CBS's Pam Coulter in Washington. Organizers called it the Million Hoodie March in New York in support of the family of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Florida.
Justice! No!
They won an arrest in the killing of the teenager who wore a hoodie, claiming Martin was no threat to the neighborhood watch commander who shot him. The Sanford, Florida city manager plans a news conference in the coming hour. In Toulouse, France, professed al-Qaeda killer on a motorbike died diving out the window of the house where the police had him cornered.
Prosecutors are trying to find out, did he have other accomplices? Was there someone pushing him to act this way? Did he have people who helped him in a concrete way? They're also examining the video they found in the camera that where he filmed all of the killings. They also found lots of weapons.
CBS's Elaine Cobb in Toulouse. U.S. officials say Mohamed Mera was on the U.S. no-fly list. Five more bodies have been found in the wreck of the Costa Concordia cruise ship off the Tuscan island of Giglio. That leaves just two unaccounted for. The record-breaking warm weather of the last couple of weeks ought to cool off from Chicago to Boston and down to Georgia.
That heavy rain is moving further east into Illinois, down to the Gulf Coast, and the heavy rain will be along the eastern seaboard come Friday and into parts of the weekend. And that will begin to bring temperatures back down closer to normal.
That's Chris Vaccaro at the National Weather Service. Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage has risen now above 4% for the first time in 5 months. On Wall Street, the Dow's down 84 points, NASDAQ's off 14, oil prices 105.41 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, and Fiona works at a Ford dealership, and she's with me today. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thank you.
You were just on the verge of telling me why I should bring my vehicle to a Ford dealership instead of some specialty tire store if I want good tires.
Well, to ensure that you have Ford experts working on your vehicle, all our service advisors and technicians are factory trained and certified for your vehicle specifically. And when it comes to tires, it's not just a tire, but the right tire is important for your vehicle.
Buy four Michelin, BF Goodrich, Pirelli, General Tire, or Goodyear tires to get up to a $70 rebate and two complimentary Mammoth Mountain Ski Resort weekday lift tickets.
So you're saying the right tire at the right price with the right rebate and the correct fit would send me away a happy customer?
Absolutely.
And you're able to assure that all those things will happen should I bring my vehicle to you?
To a Ford dealership.
What about you specifically?
You can come to my dealership.
All right.
I'd allow you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rebate varies by manufacturer. Tickets while supplies last. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
One of the most anticipated films of the year hits the big screen at midnight.
Welcome and happy Hunger Games.
Ticket website Fandango says the Hunger Games has sold more advanced tickets than any other non-sequel. These fans in Phoenix are ready.
I just want to see people fight to the death.
Oh my God.
The movie, based on the popular book series, is set in the future where boys and girls are forced to fight to the death for the entertainment of others.
You come because you love the characters, you love what they're capable of. Not to mention the book is an actual reflection of what society can become.
Christine Astor for CBS News, Phoenix.
Federal Judge Lono Lee decided enough was enough when a man ran into his courtroom, snatched up the state flag and the pole from behind the judge and started swinging it. When he broke the pole, the judge knocked him flat, put a chokehold on him, and turned him over to the police there in Hawaii. The man had run screaming from one courtroom to the next until he found the one that left him breathless. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by a Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Spring is in the air, which means now's the time to stop by Lowe's and save big on everything you need to get out there and improve your yard. Like refreshing your flower beds with 3 bags of Preen Mulch Plus, now for only $10. And if you want to revive your garden with some fresh springtime veggies, pick up some Bonnie's Vegetables, now just 2 for $5. To take advantage of these and other great values for spring, hurry into Lowe's today. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 3/26. Color selection may vary by market. See store for details.
Hello. We have stuff to talk about today, by gosh, because Karen Vealey's going to come in here and try to make some sense out of what doesn't make sense.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Well, there she arrives. I was going to say, I thought she'd be sitting here before me, but I've been stood up before, so I was, you know, just waiting to see how things would go, and we'll be back and talk to Karen in just a moment.
With Bill Benica, the Friends and Neighbors Network.
The radio you're listening to right now brings you music, news, sports, and talk programs, or it's just a noisy, knobby box. The difference is your ability to hear what's coming out of it. Karen Scott is your certified Central Coast audiologist with offices in San Luis Obispo and Arroyo Grande. Karen can take you beyond the noisy, knobby box phase of your life and into a world of listening enjoyment. You or your loved one is just an appointment away from a whole new life of hearing your sweetheart, family, children, grandchildren, your radio, and yes, even the neighbors. Karen can make your whole world a better place to live and listen in. Karen has numerous products that she can recommend and fit perfectly, and her caring follow-up service puts her at the top of the professional audiology ladder. Serving the Central Coast for 23 years, Karen's main office is at 1985 Johnson Avenue by French Hospital, and you can make an appointment right now by calling 541-1790. Do it for yourself, for those you love, and for those of us inside your noisy, knobby box. Karen will help you hear all of us say thank you.
Did you know that MRI technology changes as rapidly as computers or cell phones? San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art medical technology, so patients on the Central Coast have the best medical care available. That's why they just replaced their MRI scanner with a Siemens Skyra, the new gold standard in MR imaging. This 3-Tesla MRI is the only one of its kind in California, and there are only 2 others in the United States. This system has 8 times the resolution of other MRIs, giving your doctor the most accurate high-resolution images in history. Plus, it's 5 times faster, getting you in and out as quickly as possible. It's also the most open MRI in existence and virtually eliminates claustrophobia. You have a choice when it comes to where you get an MRI. Tell your doctor you want the best MRI technology available. Choose the fastest, most advanced MRI made only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
That's right. All insurance, major insurance accepted. Let me tell you this about San Luis Diagnostic Center, that new thing they got. You know, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel in any way like, how do I say this? It doesn't feel in any way like the old MRI machines that were like, you felt like you were a torpedo in a tube. No, I mean, it was really claustrophobic. you don't even have that feeling. You know, your head's not inside something and all that. It's done very differently, unless they're taking a thing in your head. But even so, it's much bigger inside. It's just a much bigger space. So go to Sanos Diagnostics. Have you ever said to yourself, those MRIs, I can't take it. You'll be okay. You can. All right, we're going to do our what happened on this day in history, according to the Tribune today, and then we're going to get to Karen. Our Highland history: on March 22, 1765, the British Parliament passed the Stamp Act of 1765 to raise money from the American colonies, which fiercely resisted that tax. The Stamp Act was repealed a year later. On this day in 1312, Pope Clement V issued a papal bull ordering the dissolution of the Order of the Knights Templar. And you have to be Catholic, I understand. In 1933, during Prohibition, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a measure to make wine and beer contain up to 3.2% alcohol legal. In 1962, the musical I Can Get It For You Wholesale, featuring the Broadway debut of 19-year-old Barbara Streisand, opened at the Schubert Theater. Our birthdays today include actor William Shatner, who's 81, actor M. Emmett Walsh is 77, CNN newscaster Wolf Blitzer is 64, composer Andrew Lloyd Webber is 64, sportscaster Bob Costas is 60 today, and actress Reese Witherspoon, who's with child, is also with being 36 years old today. So happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it's yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Pops, what's with all this talk about the Drake?
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake the duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
All right, we're with Bill Benica. You're with Karen Vealey. You're with CalcoastNews.com. You're with 1340KYNS. You have everything right there in your fingertips right there right now, or your hearing, I think. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
As I said when I introduced this thing, I said we're going to try to make something sense out of something that makes no sense whatsoever. And I don't think we're going to succeed, you know, even in our effort, but I guess we'll try. So there's a couple of things that are on front burners here that are going on that we talked about on the phone. And so let's go ahead and do Lisa Solomon first. As we know, she settled for $250,000. She'll be out on April 4th or whatever it is. But she said within 5 days to be paid the $250,000. Now it turns out, are you ready? That was not understandable to begin with. Now it turns out the $230,000 of it is for damage to her reputation. And she's the one that damaged it. Why do the people of Paso Robles have to pay this money?
And they're claiming that neither of them are taking blame. App saying she was a wonderful chief of police. It's everything is wonderful. The agreement also says there'll be no problems. But as I don't know, for those that read Cal Coast News, you'll note that in the morning on Friday we said, will Chief Solomon be canned tonight? We already had information that that was the night it was going to be talked about, that there was the report had been done, and the report was with the city, and the city was supposed to talk about the report. Now, the report was done by an investigator out of the Bay Area, who was charged with looking into the sexual assault and harassment allegations.
Okay, she was a lawyer, right?
Not a lawyer, no.
Oh, she wasn't?
It was a private investigator that their lawyer hired.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they actually hired a private investigator with a reputation for putting out reports that usually supported whoever was accused. For example, she did one in San Leandro in 08, I think, And the sergeant had been saying things, oh, pretty lacy bra, and hey, babe, hey, honey. And in her report, she said, well, some of it couldn't be proven, but some of it, there were enough people, you know, this person all approved. She goes, but maybe they wanted it. And I'm thinking, did you just say maybe it was welcome? And she said, so I don't know if it was harassment because the women might have welcomed those statements. So this is, they hired an investigator, a PI, that was known for these real supportive reports to anyone accused of sexual problems, you know, harassment or assault or, you know, sexual worst place crossings. And even with this, when the report came in, you suddenly have Lisa put on paid administrative leave. The first council meeting, instead of talking about the report, suddenly the app doesn't remember the report. Well, I don't know if we did a report. I don't know if we investigated.
How can he say such a thing?
I mean, don't know what's... He completely supports Lisa. Well, you know, they're looking at multiple lawsuits, a lot of money. Many of these officers made claims years before and were ignored. So now, if this report, the city's own report, shows, you know, Brennan Lux told the investigator in October she grabbed his penis. T.J. McCall told the investigator in December she grabbed his penis. Hernandez said while he was working, she shoved his face into her breasts. There was one after another that told me, they told this investigator, that she had done these things.
They should have, you know what they should have done? Lisa Solomon should have had the, when you're a child, the, you're in an antique store or a glass shop, you know, keep your hands in your pockets. Think of all the grief it would have saved here. So what's happened now is because we'll talk about whether or not this report can be released. Without that, if in fact the city of Paso Robles decides to settle out of court with the officers involved and the reports never released, the information the reports never released, then they can say this was all just a thing to damage Lisa Solomon's reputation and she didn't do anything wrong, which is what they're saying right now. But
the problem is there's all these lawsuits coming through the pike.
Okay.
And what some of the people involved and some of the attorneys think is going to happen right now is the city's going to try to pay off backdoor. You know, before they were going to fight all these lawsuits, they think they're just going to try to throw low amounts of money at the officers, go away, and or even maybe major amounts of money, but just try to keep this out of the public's purview at all costs. So that seems, and back to the report. Generally, where public employees are involved, remember Gail Wilcox and David Edge, if a report finds wrongdoing, by law it has to be made public. Except, and I don't know if there's an except here or not, I have an attorney I'm working with. Calcos News attorney Bill Loving is also a media law attorney and a very well-known media law attorney who has won major cases and had people go to jail regarding his cases. He's won awards from First Amendment coalitions. He teaches media law at universities. He's very well respected in this realm. There are different personnel rules for police officers. I don't know they'll probably try to fight on the personnel. I've already put a records request in for the report, and then I'll sit down with the attorney and find out what do we need to do here. But we are going to try very heavily to get the report. Now, the other thing is with lawsuits, and I'm going to say this completely wrong. It's like a fish motion there's a motion they can make to get personnel records on law enforcement. I've seen it happen before. As I remember, I think Jim McKernan was able to do it. And you say, this is relevant to my case. And then you're able to get some information on an officer that you would otherwise not be able to get.
Okay, and this would be because the other person is also an officer. In the same police department?
No. Any personnel issues with law enforcement in the state of California has a higher level of privacy, though some people are trying to fight it right now, because it really, wrongdoing in government should be public.
Boy. If there's ever an example in the whole wide world of that, it's this. The other thing too is that I want to say, I really hope that somebody will have the huevos to say, okay, I'm going to take this thing through the court system and go to trial and stay in throughout the thing and give it the go. Because otherwise, and the reason I'm interested in that is I'm interested in that for CalcosNews.com and Karen Vealey. You know, because people are, you know, you've had a lot of arrows slung at you over this incident, and so far it's been proven out that, you know, you're not at fault in any of this. It's not, wasn't created in the press just for the sake of doing it. But again, if they can manipulate this thing in such a way that you can't find out anything, then people can still walk away and say, yeah, see, if it had never come up, you know. And it's weird because when we talked about the shredder, you know, last week, and again, they used the term, and I find this very weird, when you have a qualified journalist that's a graduate of Cal Poly, when you say, they go, well, it's low reporting. It's like lowbrow reporting. You know, this wouldn't have been, man, this, nothing would have happened with this whole thing if it hadn't been just lowbrow reporting. You know, this isn't about sensationalizing, you know, some tawdry business going on in the Paso Robles Police Department. This is men under her supervision that have been, quite frankly, mistreated. And, you know, you might say, well, sexual harassment, that's not really mistreating. Yes, it is. You know, it's the same as it was a woman. If the chief was a guy and he went around sticking his hand in women's drawers, you know, how long would that last? You know, so there's a real basis for all of this, I think. And if I didn't think there was, Karen, and I've said this, if I didn't think there was, and I would have said to you long ago, you know, Karen, this is going off in a funny direction. But everything I've heard and everything I've read and I've seen and people I've talked to, I see this as a legitimate case of abuse by a city official, and that's what it is.
And I think because she's a woman, she was treated differently in the press and by her management. But I don't know what they're going to do, but I hope it comes out also. And I think I'm going to be, we're still investigating because there's other allegations coming out right now. And even though, you know, I think the city is hoping, you know, I read the comments, and the city council is like, oh, now we can put this all behind us. Well, how do you put this behind us when you want to tell the public nothing happened? You know, how do you put it behind you when you say you completely support her and nothing went wrong? Because this is, you know, they may not, if they do pay under the table, you know, not under the table, with a privacy agreement,
right,
they're still going to have to make the payments public. And there's no way they're going to pay out all this money if nothing happened. There's an amount people pay for nothing.
Let me say this, too, about this. So people say, okay, well, this, you know, this, and you, the accusations against you are, you know, you're just trying to dig up this crazy sex stuff and all that. Let's put the sex stuff completely off the table, all right? So now have the cop that's suing for having been forced to do quotas on traffic tickets, because that's certainly a legitimate claim, and it would be interesting to see that one go to court and have somebody substantiate what he says, and take the situation of the moles, you know, in the meetings. The
and union, that's provable. That's in emails.
Yeah, in the union meetings. Well, so these are, if people want to say, well, you know, the news is just off doing weird things to this woman, look at just those two things. Forget the rest of it. Just look at those two things.
And changing her crime stats. The crime stats change. There's three different sets of crime stats. They can't change. You don't have 200 burglaries and 300 burglaries and 215. You can't jump them all over the place. It just,
right.
You know, there's one set of crime stats that was sent to the DOJ. I was sent pages that I was told were the originals in the email. Karen, we found the originals to make sure you had the original reports. These are the originals. We found the hard copy originals, they actually say, and sent them over to me.
Now, here's the other thing, too. And this just would concern me as a citizen of Paso Robles. I mean, I have to say, I'd be like, the heck is this? And that's this idea that they went to Carmel Valley Inn, which was very expensive. I mean, I know Carmel Valley Inn is hugely expensive. And they went there to have this staff meeting. You know, that's just, it's like, you know, people that go to Hawaii, you know, and they have meetings, and it's like, what are you going there for? You know, why don't you have a meeting down the street? I understand you may not want to have it at the police station. You know, I understand you want to get into a different environment. But, hell, the least they could do is go to the Paso Robles Inn and support their own city. But even they go to embassy suites, so they're out of their own city. It's just weird when people say, we can take advantage of this idea, and they do it. And that, to me, is taking advantage of the public pocketbook. It really is. That's my opinion.
I think so, too. And there is a lot less of this now. But back in 08, there was a lot of that. The and, in fact, in the middle of discussing cutbacks, Atascadero management all went down to the Carmel and had a big get-together also. It does shock me also. Some of these charges are just...
It's just not ethically right for these people to do this to the taxpayers of this of their respective cities. In my opinion, I just think it's wrong. You're right. It used to be much more prevalent. I remember hearing about it all the time, and people were always complaining about people taking these junkets. They used to call them junkets, and doing all that. And those have cut back quite a bit. But you know, and then somebody said a comment was made. They said, you know, in these times of bad economic times, is this the time to give Lisa Solomon $250,000? That has nothing to do with it. Doesn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't matter if these are the best of times or the worst of times. it's the wrong time to do that.
And if they're blaming this on her bad reputation. Why do they have, they don't owe her a payout and allowing her to do that for bad reputation. You know, she is under fire on so many different avenues.
Right.
I've also been told that from some of the union guys that they're trying to get together to go after a lawsuit. Several police officers want to go to the DA's office and get him to go after them criminally for the moles. I've heard that several people have tried to ask the DOJ to come in regarding, I don't know if this is true, regarding the falsifying crime stats, and they want different grants and things looked at that the city's gotten to see if what number she used. What number did she actually use when she was applying for monies? And they get a lot of all these grants from state and feds are based on your crime stat numbers.
And I want to make one other thing clear for myself and for Talk is Cheap. I don't know Lisa Solomon. I've never met Lisa Solomon. I have no axe to grind with Lisa Solomon. If you ask me how I feel about these things, I would rather find out we're wrong and that someone didn't wrong their community. I mean that honestly. I mean that sincerely. I don't want to... I would rather find out that everybody was wrong and poor Karen would have to, you know, have eat crow and Bill Bennett would have to eat crow. I'd still rather do that and find out that someone didn't take advantage of the public.
That's my feeling. That had done it, their lives would be ruined for making it up. If it came out and was provable that none of this happened. And again, no one is saying, oh, Lisa did this to me in her office with nobody looking. Almost everything that happened, the one gentleman said there were 100 people standing around. The gentleman that says she pushed his head into her breast, they're not saying, oh, you know, this happened. It's her word against my word.
Right, right.
It's my word and 50 other people that were looking that way.
Right.
So there is, and I've talked to over a dozen people now that have seen things. So this isn't he said, she said. But aside from Lisa, I think the men that have lost their jobs or that she has fired after allegedly sexually assaulting them, deserve the public's
support,
and they don't have it. I talked to some of the officers. One of them told me, I had several of them call me the night that Lisa lost her Tuesday night, and one of them said, I finally feel that I don't look like I just made this whole thing up. And you know, he even said that, you know, he had people saying, well, were you having an affair with her? Was this going on? Was that going on? And it's even people he worked with were wondering, because she did treat him favorably. She would flirt with him and then give him perks. And a lot of guys thought that they were getting up together after work. So there were other issues, and he feels like his reputation is coming back.
There's another person here that's, you know, I mean, the 800-pound gorilla on the table, and that's, of course, the city manager, Jim App. And his attitude, I mean, everything that he said is so completely contrary to what is obvious or makes sense that it's unhealthy again for the city of Paso Robles.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel really, really bad about the city. I do. I mean, and they have city council people that are just taking Jim App's word for everything. What the heck is that?
Well, I think the city is going to stand up, and I think the people are actually happy. Many of them knew about this. For example, we wrote a story back in 08, And we had gotten a call. We were getting calls from the officers back then about the touching, but they wouldn't, you know, they just didn't want to say much. We had a call that she'd shown up at a hostage situation with a pair of sweatpants that said juicy across the butt. Then we had a call that she had been dancing on a bar top. You know, so we wrote a story about her, you know, in the midst of all this, she's in some bar in a skirt dancing up and down the bar top. You know, and people were just saying, is this appropriate? And we're talking kind of, you know, the Pine Street Inn. That's not a crash and burn corner bar. That's a nice, respectable dinner house. You know, they have music and a dancing bar, but, you know, it's you know, and I went in and we'd also heard from a couple other bartenders that some things were going on, so I went down there and I went in and I sat down and I asked the lady, I said, has this ever happened? She goes, oh, you can't use my name, but yeah. She just told me story after story. And so this is well known in the city of Paso Robles. The public is so supportive. There is a place that Dan goes, and I don't know the name of it, on Saturdays for brunch with, you know, in the mornings. I think it's Saturday or Sunday. And he's been going there for a while. And he goes in and no one knows him. No one comments. He walks in now and it's Dan Blackburn.
That's funny.
You know, so there's such support. And I have officers texting me, calling me. Just wanted to call, you know, I wanted to tell you thank you for helping us.
Okay. And I'm not finding fault with you in saying that, and because there was such vitriolic things said against you and Cal Coast News and Dan Blackburn and everything that I think, you know, it's only fair to be able to say, you know what, people have our back. They respect what we do, and that's what's important. If I didn't think that what Cal Coast News did was responsible, I wouldn't do this. I think it's the best source we have for investigative reporting on the Central Coast by far.
And we don't get thanks that often. This is an unusual story. People don't usually send emails and call. This is an unusual, this is probably the biggest response on thank yous that I think I've had as a reporter.
Let me give out phone numbers so you have them. And we're going to put, by the way, on the Cal Coast News website, we're going to put the phone numbers to call in to here on the website itself, because poor Karen the other day, she couldn't find him and she couldn't figure it out, and there was nobody here to answer the phone. I was like, okay. So those are them right there.
Okay.
So they're going to go on the website, so you'll be there. But let me give them to you now. They're 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. We'll be back after these words, and we have something else to talk about.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Remember when you believed in the tooth fairy? You'd lose a tooth, get a nickel or a dime, maybe later a quarter, a buck, a Macy's gift certificate, whatever. Point is, don't you wish you could trade any of those for an actual tooth? They get older and they go away faster than Santa, the Easter Bunny, and of course the Tooth Fairy, which turned out was Dad dressed in drag. Swiss Dental Center and Dr. Carol Phillips can help you believe in yourself with the confidence of new teeth. Dr. Phillips sympathizes with your fantasies but understands your realities. Opposing teeth. Without those, you're only gumming soft food. Imagine real implanted teeth that will really change your life. Your body tries to reject dentures, and all you can do is add more dental goo to try and hold them in place. It's a losing battle. Tooth implants replace the real thing naturally. Go to SwissDentalCenter.com and see how Dr. Carol Phillips can make an apple a day fun again. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Corral and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
Thank you.
Hey, we were getting organized here, and I thank you very much. This is Talk Is Cheap with Bill Benega and with Karen Veely from thecalgarysnews.com. I was trying to remember where I was from. 1340 KYNS. Let me give you phone numbers in case you want to call in. 786-2578. That's 786-2578. And toll free 1-866-937-1340. Last, go ahead.
I do want to say, if I can give a plug for Dan, did a really interesting interview with App at the Tuesday night meeting that we're going to put a video up.
Oh, good.
And it'll give you an idea. He completely seems to back her, and he doesn't, you know, doesn't know about a report, doesn't know about this, doesn't know about that. Everything's just wonderful, and Lisa was a great chief. But Dan asked some very, very good questions, and we'll be posting the interview.
All right. Now, we have another subject we want to get to, and it's very troubling to me. And it's like any other thing. There are people who have different opinions of it. You know, that's the way life is. And I understand, and I can understand why people are like, well, this is trashing up the city. But what we're talking about is human beings, and so we're talking about the homeless right now and this new pilot program to let four people five cars a night.
Some will have two.
Okay,
or
five cars a night. And so I don't know what the rotation is going to be of that or whatever. But anyway, but you have some other information about this thing. And the one thing we both know, and that is that the ticket price for parking overnight and sleeping in your car is $450.
Yeah.
Now, do you think in a million years these people have $450?
And some of these people are losing their cars because of this. They are ticketing them. I know one gentleman that's had five this month. So he's had five $450 tickets. If you're driving to work, If you're getting up, I think it's 40% of the homeless work at least 20 hours a week. And if you're driving to work and they suddenly take your car, you're suddenly completely destitute. This program is making people that are just barely making it, and not the parking program, but other things they want to do with the parking program. Let me explain. There was a parking program, Capslo, and Detours.
Now, say what Capslo is.
Capslo, what is that? They do a lot of different services under one umbrella, and they do some of the homeless services, the Maxine Lewis Shelter, Prater Day Center, and one of the persons that is responsible for this is Detours. And that's the reason that's kind of important is you had Adam Hill, who's Supervisor Adam Hill, really, he got up and spoke first, asked the council members not to listen to members of the public, because they didn't, you know, it's a complicated issue. Members of the public don't have enough information to understand it. They don't have time to explain it, to listen to those involved, and to listen to Detours, who's trying to get money. Adam Hill's running for supervisor, and one of his main things is, I've given all this money to the homeless. Adam Hill has voted to give money to his girlfriend's agency.
Which is?
She was at Prado, and she works for Capsule and Prado,
okay.
The Prado Day Center.
Okay.
So his there has been a, you know, he has two things that he says he's done. He's helped get the solar plant in and helped get give money to the homeless services. There's other people that have tried to start homeless services here in the area. He only supports the ones that are through his girlfriend. Now there's an attorney in town that actually thinks that it may be illegal for Adam to be voting on these things, to give money to an agency that his girlfriend makes a living with. So that's, the attorney's looking at it right now, and if he does determine it, this could end up going somewhere else. But back to the issue. In several cities, Santa Barbara has a fairly successful parking program. They have, I think, 130 lots or something like that, spaces throughout the city. They're at churches. They're at government buildings. They're in a variety. They're at private businesses. A variety of people have said, hey, you know, use my lot. I'll give three people keys and go in and wash up and use the bathroom at night. They've got a pretty nice program. They've got cameras up. They put portalettes in some of the places. They spend about $1,000 a year per parking place because they have some things that they do to help it. They also make sure that there's police protection. They've done a really nice job. They ticket, and most of the tickets I looked at were around $100. But they ticket if you don't park in one of the parking, but they have over 100 parking spaces. Ventura has a program that I have heard is mediocrely successful. They only have 15 spots, and they're ticketing. Several other cities down in that area, I think Sims or something in that area, mm-hmm. They looked at it. They decided Ventura's was cruel to the homeless, And they're actually voting to take away parking fees on homeless at all and asking for people to support letting the homeless park. So it actually is more popular to say, hey, this person is living in their car. They have nowhere else to go, you know, to ticket them. But the $450, I don't know anyone that has this high of ticketing prices.
You know, it's and here's the thing. The way it was described, I heard it described as, it's becoming a bigger problem. Yes, it's a problem for the people that are being fired and don't have money and losing their homes and all this stuff. That's who it's a problem for. For the city to say, oh, woe is me, we got to wring our hands, we don't know what to do with these people, I think that's absurd.
Could you imagine sleeping in a car every night? I would be miserable.
Well, you know, and then the thing is you got to go someplace. I don't even know where you go do this. What do you pay for a Sensheimer pool admission so you can take a shower? I mean, how does anyone imagine these people are going to get going? If you take away any dime they possibly could make at $450 a crack,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. I really support the idea, and I wish the city would look at the idea of, and I know there's people, there's forces out there that think Dan Duvall's the most evil man in the whole wide world, and screw him. But, you know, it seems so obvious that to use his property, of which he's got tons of, property, to use his property to let these people stay, and they could pay him a buck or two, whatever it would take, you know, that kind of thing, and put porta potties out there. I mean, it's just kind of a no-brainer to me.
And in Fresno, they have something similar to Dan Duvall's that the city actually supported, and people sleep in garden sheds. And, you know, and here they say, well, that's not good enough housing, but they're saying, hey, that's better to have a garden shed out of a water area than me sleeping by a creek.
Right.
You know, so there, and there's a toilet, and I can shower in the morning, and there are some, you know, there are some things, but here, no, we, I don't know what, but, you know, the issue of having the 5 parking places, that's fine. Some found the $80,000 or $16,000 car to set this up.
Now, wait, because I don't know that everybody knows about this. So now explain the cost that they're talking about to do this.
There were 3 issues with this. And the cost for Capslo to set this up, they want $80,000. There's also going to be some cost to the city of Slo because staff will be figuring out how well it worked and deciding if they're going to do more than the 5 spaces. So the $80,000 is for Capslo to get it going. And so that one attorney, Stu Jenkins here in town, said that's $16,000 per car. Wouldn't it be easier to put that money into giving them parking vouchers or helping them in another way? So he found it, and he says,
What is the justification for that much money to begin with?
Well, they said that's what we need to do to get it set up.
To put a porta potty on the place?
I think they're going to put a camera up too. And
oh,
watch the people.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, but
that's a you know, you can buy those things from China for about $1.98.
And they may, I don't know exactly what they're planning on doing, but so that was step one. Step two was to have the city staff of San Luis Obispo then see how it was working. Step three was then to increase enforcement of the homeless. Now, this guy's already gotten 5 tickets in 1 month. And to give you an idea, I walked the cars on Prado. Several women told me, I know I'm more likely to get ticketed on Prado. You know, I'm sleeping in a van or sleeping in a small RV. I'm comfortable here. If somebody tries to break in, I can scream and someone will hear me. There's people that are there on Prado because of fear. They know they're more likely to get more tickets. But they feel comfortable in a group. I've got support from somebody else. Plus, instead of paying gas to go get food at the Prado Day Center, they can walk across the street. I talked to the one gentleman. His nickname is Fresno. And he is in his 50s. And, you know, he's had 5 tickets. Now, he got a couple tickets a couple months ago. And what they'll do then is they'll take your vehicle, and then you have nothing. So what he did, then they, after the $450, they had $50 a day. Well, they came in and they said, you know, I think he finally let him arrest him, and he spent close to a month in jail paying off his fine. There are laws against putting someone in jail for an ordinance. They're not putting them in jail for an ordinance. They're putting them in jail for not paying the fine on an ordinance, which I think is kind of...
So the question has to be asked, and I don't hesitate to ask this. Because this has been an issue in San Luis Obispo for so many years. So if you say, okay, these are people that are mobile, at least somewhat mobile, and we're going to make it miserable for them to be mobile in San Luis Obispo, fine. Then maybe they won't stay in San Luis Obispo. Maybe they're trying to get them to go someplace else.
There's homeless everywhere right now.
I know, but I'm just telling you, if you say we're going to make it so crappy here for you to be here and fine you $450 for sleeping in your car, well, if I was somebody that was living in my car, I'd say I got to go find someplace else to park my fanny so this doesn't happen to me.
Absolutely, and that might be part of it. But what I think they don't understand is some of these people have lived there their whole lives. A lot of these people are from here. Now, I talked to another family on the thing, and it's they have a son that looks about 10 years old. I didn't ask how old he was. The father works all day, and the mother has a little bit of a speech impediment. She doesn't work. And in this day and age with a speech impediment, I don't sound like I do now. I spent my entire youth twice a week in speech therapy. I had a major slur, and when you do talk with a slur, people do treat you a little bit differently. Some teachers would look at you like, oh, they're not very smart. They can't say their S's or T's. So it's, I do know, I remember being a child and some teachers when I first went into the classroom would look at me like I was, slow down their speech when they spoke to me. it's just part of the issue.
Right.
So I would think in this environment, it's probably very hard for the mother. But the boy is well-dressed. When I stopped by, he was sitting there in the van doing his homework. They're getting ticketed. He's working. They don't have enough money to get a house right now. They're getting ticketed for sleeping in their RV at night. It's more of a small RV. They don't look like drug abusers. They don't look like drug addicts. But then you get to this meeting and at the city hall where they're going to consider passing this new. And if you read the 45 pages, a lot of this is about making the homeless obey CAPSLO. You'll be in a managed program. You'll be here. The only way that you can sleep on is in a CAPSLO-approved lot, which they only want to use government lots. They don't want to have churches and others. They only want government lots, which in Santa Barbara, there's government, there's churches, there's businesses, but not that they don't want that. And the first person that got up and talked was Adam Hill, and that's when he asked them not to listen. He said the homeless have drinking and drug problems, and we need to keep them in a structured and managed environment.
Good. Where is their structured and managed environment?
But do
five spaces? Does that cover the homeless?
Well, there's about 4,000 homeless in the county. They expect about one-fifth sleep in their car, and of those, they think of the 4,000, about half are children. So you have, like in any portion of society, I don't care. They say homeless, drugs, and alcohol. It's almost like racism.
It's like a given. If you're homeless, you're
Irish. Irishes are all alcoholics. This race says this. This is this. Like I'm part Irish. It's a stereotyping. But so this guy gets up and he looks about 28, and he gets up and he looks very clean cut. Does not look homeless. He walks up to the podium and he said, I had a place to stay and I was staying on, I think, a boat or something. And he said, there was a storm. I no longer had it. I now live in my car. I work 40 hours a week at 8-something an hour at minimum wage. I work full time. I'm also a full time student. I don't drink at all. I don't do drugs. I am just poor. And I am, if I lose my car because of ticketing, I can't go to school and I can no longer work. And he may not have a house like the rest of us, but he's going to work every day. So this stereotypical, and he goes, and I don't need to be managed. I don't need to be taught how to get a job. I'm going to school. I'm working. I'm hoping to get a better job when the economy is better. It's just bad times right now.
It is bad times right now.
And then you have other homeless that are, they'll have mental disorders or they're called the chronically homeless. They have health problems, they're on disability, they're bringing $800 a month. They don't have enough to pay rent and eat. So they choose to sleep in their car and have enough money for food every day.
But the good thing is, though, they have enough money for drugs and booze. Where they get that, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know what drugs cost, but I hear they're expensive. And I know what booze costs, and it's expensive. So I don't understand.
And there are, we've all had, seen some of the homeless downtown. I don't think that's the face of the homeless.
I have walked the creeks.
Yeah, walk, I have seen fat. I've seen creek. I walked by one tent and they had a crib. They had diapers, cloth diapers. They were washing in the creek and hanging up. They can't afford paper diapers. And they had a crib in their tent.
Right.
So this is not just people. You know, I think it would be easier to sleep in a car than beside a creek.
You know, the other thing, too, is this. I mean, and it's because the other day I was having a conversation with somebody, and I said, and I don't know how this came up about the homeless, but I said, you realize that about 2,000 kids are homeless in this city. And the person looked at me like I was a complete nut job. No, there's no possible way there could be that many homeless kids. Yeah, guess what? There is. You know, they're hidden from you. They hide from you because they have no choice, you know, because they go down a stream bed and say, okay, this is where I have to live, or under a bridge or whatever the heck they do. Well, yes, it's there. I just think that they're trying to micromanage this thing into foolishness. So this is why I'm very suspicious of this idea of saying, okay, we got to spend all this money to just take care of five cars a night.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that they're trying to bounce these people out of here.
And Capslow wants to have all control of the homeless. They want no other homeless agencies in town. They want no one else to help the homeless.
Why do they want no one else?
I don't know. There's other agencies that want to get involved. There's some people that say that, you know, it's tough there. There was someone that they said they, and I don't know if this happened or not, but they said their two-year-old knocked over a bucket and they were said, your kids are so unruly, you can't come here for lunch anymore. The kid doesn't speak at all, homeless, low functioning. I'm sorry, kids do things. And there are those that say we need other opportunities without just this one group having total control over what is going to go on with homeless. So you have a lot of disparity, but so you have this vote. So the city council votes 5-0 to approve the 1 and 2, the 5 parking places, the other. Detour still has to raise $80,000, which I think they're going to go to the Board of Supervisors for some of that. Will be interesting to see if Adam Hill votes in favor of his girlfriend's proposal, which I think there may actually end up being trouble. But then you have two attorneys here in town who told me weeks ago that they were going to do this. And it wasn't about this. They decided to do this before this ever came out. They wanted to do something to help the homeless, something to take the burden off. And it's Sarah Rizzo and Stu Jenkins. So they sat down and they said they really went over the legal aspect of this ordinance. And the ordinance on its face appears to be okay. It's the way it's being enacted. There's certain constitutional rights to be allowed to exist. And there's certain constitutional rights regarding this type of ordinance.
And I said to you, this goes back to, you know, years ago there was a Rastafarian-looking black guy that was wandering around Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And so, or Brentwood, one of the two. Anyway, so he kept getting picked up and being arrested for being a vagrant. And so finally the ACLU took it on. And I know a lot of people go, ACLU, but guess what? Sometimes the ACLU is the kiss of heaven for some people. And so they basically took the thing to court, and the court found you cannot arrest someone for being homeless. You cannot arrest someone for being on a public sidewalk, no matter where they want to be on a public sidewalk. You can't do that.
Yes, and what they're trying to get these people for is illegal camping or illegal sleeping in a car, which we have an ordinance. So Stu put it together a letter, and he asked the city council, he said, get rid of your ordinance. Give everybody their money back that you've taken since November. You know, gave them a set of things that he asked them to do. And then in the middle of why they're trying to get the city to stop, instead the city has a meeting where they're going to increase the penalties and the enforcement against the homeless. And so Stu sat there, and he made a statement in the story that is touching, I thought. But this morning, Sarah Rizzo was at court trying to get extensions on some people's tickets. The two are planning on filing suit against the city on behalf of some of the families and some of the people out there. I mean, you have a father working, you have the child going to school every day, and you have them being woken up in the middle of the night with banging, get out here. And you know how hard it has got to be for a 10-year-old child or a little child to have people banging you and making you move your car and ticketing you in the middle of the night when you have school the next morning?
I'll tell you how long this problem goes back. So I can't even tell you how far back. I mean, it's 20 years, 25 years. I'm trying to think what it was. But I had I suggested one time on the radio, I said, you know, maybe they could take they have empty railroad cars out to Yin Yang, you know, and they got sidings. Maybe they could, you know, these people could be housed in these railroad cars, you know, along a siding. It was just a quick idea, you know.
Yeah.
And so then a city council person at that time said to me, oh, I heard your idea about putting the homeless in a railroad car. And I go, yeah. He goes, and then when we get enough of them, we just get a locomotive, we attach it to that, and we send them down south.
Oh,
it's like,
geez.
Okay, there you go. So, you know, we've had this attitude towards the homeless for a long, 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 long time. And it's too bad. And I think we need to reiterate what you said. The homeless, the face of the homeless are not the people downtown necessarily, you know, that are in front of the post office, or they're certainly not the kids that hang out, you know, in some of these other places, you know, and are rude and ask you for money. So it's just, it's stuff has to be dealt with. Well, this has been an interesting day, and Karen was a day early because we just knew we had to cover a couple of subjects and get to it. What are we going to do tomorrow? Are you coming in or just do it this week? This is good for this week?
It's up to you.
Well, is there anything else brewing?
Not yet, but why don't we talk tomorrow morning? We'll see.
Okay, we'll talk and see what happens tomorrow. And Jim D, I'm pretty sure, is going to be in tomorrow. He's got his brand new projector in this digital Talos Fujimangai projector, and it's really cool. So we will join together again here right after CBS News.
News. I'm Harley Carnes. In Sanford, Florida, the police chief is stepping aside while the investigations continue into the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin by a neighborhood watch commander. Police Chief Bill Lee.
It is apparent that my involvement in this matter is overshadowing the process. Therefore, I have come to the decision that I must temporarily remove myself from the position as police chief for the city of Sanford.
The Sanford city manager named a police captain to take his place and said the city is dedicated to doing a fair investigation of the case. A white teenager who confessed to running over a black man in Jackson, Mississippi, is reportedly planning to plead guilty to the additional federal hate crime charges. Daryl Detman's already going to prison for two life sentences. CBS's Randall Pinkston.
This is the first time the Bird Shepherd federal hate crime prevention law is being used in connection with the death. The federal charges in Mississippi stem from the killing of James Craig Anderson, a 49-year-old African-American man who was beaten, then run over by a white teenager in Jackson.
Two other men are also being charged with federal hate crimes in the case. U.S. officials say the Al-Qaeda terrorist who was killed by French police in Toulouse was on the U.S. no-fly list.
He became one of 21,000 people around the world who just were absolutely forbidden from flying into this country. Now, U.S. officials are still checking through all the data to see what his travel patterns are. But preliminarily, there seems to be no indication that he ever tried to come here after being put on the list. But this is an indication, at least, that there were real serious questions about his intent and who he might be affiliated with.
CBS's Bob Orr in Washington. French officials say they're disappointed that the siege with the man who had killed seven people ended with his death. They really wanted to question him. The Stock Act passed with red faces on Capitol Hill after a CBS 60 Minutes expose divulged that only members of the House and Senate and their staffs were legally allowed to make insider stock trades on legislation they knew was coming. The bill passed today outlaws that practice. The president says he will sign it.
The Stock Act is intended to affirm that members of Congress are not exempt from our laws and regulations prohibiting insider trading.
That's Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins. Some Eurozone economies are already back in recession. China is slowing down, but the U.S. economy is still slowly growing, and new unemployment applications went down last week to just under 350,000.
We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We still have 12.8 million people who are unemployed. We've got a lot of people who've been unemployed for more than 6 months. So we still have a long way to go, but still, this data shows we are seeing gradual improvement.
That's Jill Schlesinger at CBSMoneyWatch.com. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 78 points. The Nasdaq is off 12. Oil prices 105.40 a barrel. This is CBS News.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
The tulips of Detroit may be gone by the time the festival starts.
Tulip Time Executive Director Gwen Awarda says she's never seen this in March before. Some of the city's 6 million tulips already in bloom.
I did see some starting to pop out today when I was walking downtown.
But the festival doesn't start until May. Awarda says it has left them scrambling.
I don't think we would do fake ones. We're looking at some creative ideas, though, to show our guests and visitors what the tulips do look like if they're not here. So we're brainstorming that at the moment.
Sandra McNeil, CBS News, Detroit.
A veterinarian in Boston says Sugar, the cat, must have used up 8 of her lives after falling out the window of the apartment 19 stories up. That's about 200 feet. The vet says cats can stretch out their legs, almost flying squirrel style, and slow their descent somewhat. Sugar landed on all fours, naturally, and broke no bones, no cuts. Her lungs were bruised from landing hard, that's all. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
fairy tale come true. Sitting by the fire we made, you're the answer when I prayed I would find someone. Baby, I found you. And all I want is to hold you forever. And all I need is you more every day. You saved my heart from being broken apart. You gave your love away, and I'm thankful every day for the gift.
I could keep just this moment if only time stood still. But the colors fade away, and the years will make us gray. But baby, in my eyes, you'll still be beautiful. All I want
there's nothing quite as tall, we say it's the tall est. If its strength knows no equal, it's the strong est. Loudest, longest, neatest, coolest, mostest. In other words, if it's the best, it's the est. Enter Charter Internet, already with the fastest download speeds. Now our customers get even more speed for free. Guess that makes it the fastest est. Try saying that 5 times fast. Don't already have Charter Internet? Well, what are you waiting for? Preview Charter Internet Express, now with speeds up to 12 megs for only $19.99 a month for 3 months as part of a 2-year price guarantee. We think you'll agree, it's good to be the fastest. Est. To sign up for the fastest speeds, call 1-855-2-GET-FAST or visit charter.com/freefast today. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Offer expires 4/30/11. Package rates apply in months 4 through 24. Installation, taxes, fees, surcharges, and equipment extra. Early termination fees and restrictions apply.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Talk is cheap.
talk is cheap.
Hi, Bill Bank of Talk is Cheap, friends and neighbors. And my news and commentary today. Bill, here's my news and commentary right here. Spencer's Fresh Market. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is a new flyer out. A lean ground beef and the 3-pound package are larger, $1.99 a pound. And it's the fresh hamburger they've just ground. And you'll really tell the difference. I mean it. They have a sunny roast, a whole fryer, a body chickens fryer, the whole chicken thing, you know, 99 cents a pound. It's not parts of the, it's a whole chicken except for the neck and the head and the feet and the lips. All right, and then listen to this IGA affair. IGA spaghetti or elbow macaroni, 2 for $5. IGA tomatoes, 79 cents a holler. 2 for $3, IGA chili with beans. IGA peaches or fruit cocktail, $2.29. IGA tomato ketchup is just $1.19. Apple juice, 2 for $5. IGA vegetables, 79 cents. IGA macaroni and cheese, 2 for $1. IGA instant oatmeal is $1.79. Graham crackers, $1.99. IGA microwave popcorn, 2 for $3. Sandwich bags and tall kitchen bags, just $2.99. And IGA clear plastic wrapper, $1.29. I would wrap it up, if I were you, with the IGA. And get all that stuff, the International Grocers Association, Independent Grocers Association. And then they got Sody Pops, they got all that kind of stuff. They got just tons and tons and tons. Let me see what else got, especially in Organic Baker's Corner, $10,000 sweepstakes they got up here. Deli Delights, oh my gosh. What else is in the service, Belly and Dickery? They got Boar's Head's Own Happy Salami. They got Pistachio Delight for $2.99 a pound. They've got Enchilada Dinner for $4.99 each. Just yummy yum. And then I need to tell you about this right here. Harris Ranch Choice Angus Bone-In Ribeye Steak for $7.99 a pound. Yes, I would like to barbecue one of those myself. And, oh, here's the other thing I want to tell you about. Arctic Cod Filets are $5.99 a pound. And Sweet Steelhead Salmon Filet is also $6.99 a pound. And then you got booze, barbecue sauce, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I really like Spencer's. I like John Spencer's stores. I like John Spencer, too. Anyway, so you should go to Spencer's, too. If you haven't tried it, try it. For gosh sake, if you haven't been for a while, go back. All right. And Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, Rio Grande, Santa Maria. You can pick up this flyer as soon as you walk through the door. Don't forget, they have another little flyer, which maybe we can do, because it goes through March, part of March. So that's that. That's what's going on with John Spencer's. All right. Now, this just came across the news. A Sanford police chief temporarily steps down. This is in Florida, of course, where this young boy was shot. He has temporarily removed myself from duty a day after the city commission voted 3-2 in favor of a non-binding measure of a no confidence in him. So it's just really kind of the whole thing is just crazy. All right, let me we got a phone call, so let me get to the phone call and say hello. Hello.
Oh, hi, Bill. It's Ann.
Hi, Ann. How
I was
are you?
Listening to you and Karen as I was coming back from town. And, you know, it's really odd to me. I mean, it's kind of typical. If you remember when this story started to break at Calcos News, I think Bob Cuddy had a rather snotty little column about, referring
swamp
to
gas. Swamp gas.
As swamp gas, or, you know, and then the Board of Supervisors would sort of snidely remark on, you know, a blog, like some low life thing, a blog. And usually, you know, when I hear that, immediately that tells me that the story is probably right. And I remember the good old days where if anybody got a whiff of something, all the so-called legitimate papers would be all over like a duck on another duck.
Yeah.
But in this county, the Trib simply doesn't do its job. And then when someone is doing their job, they get snotty and snarky and look their nose down like, oh, well, that they'll pay no attention to that. You know,
and
person
yet the
in
next,
the corner.
And, next,
and yet they will refuse to really do any kind of serious follow-up on it.
And then the weird part is, this is Mr. Cuddy has baffled me in the last month. So here he had the first article about this whole thing with Lisa Solomon, seemed to just be in Lisa's corner and like, you know, oh, how could you say terrible things about this wonderful woman? And then call him the Calcos News Swamp Guest. Then the next column that he had was brilliant as far as I was concerned. He was talking about, he said, why doesn't the entire Board of Supervisors stand up and in one voice say, if you want a medical marijuana dispensary in San Luis Obispo County, it's never going to happen. And just say it.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So why don't they just come right out and say, don't bother with it. Don't spend fortunes on paperwork and permit fees and all that stuff. Just say no. And he was dead on with that. I mean,
yeah.
He was absolutely dead on with that.
Yeah.
He did get a little snarky on that other one. I'm not sure why. I don't know why.
They do that. They won't cover the story themselves. And if they've been scooped on it, it's like they absolutely refuse to touch it with a 10-foot pole, or they do it with faint praise, shall we say, very minimally, and then it just disappears and goes away, and that's the end of it.
You know,
it's really fascinating, because, I mean, it's, to me, you'd think they'd be hanging their heads in shame, because Karen Vealey basically is doing their job for them.
Well, here's the other thing, too. And I understand the competitiveness of any news thing, because heavens knows back in the days when KVC was just a rompin' stompin' news champ, there was, Mike Powell and John Richards, they'd shoot a toe off before they'd have to say, well, according to the Tribune, they just didn't want to do it.
Right.
So, and I'll tell you how much respect they had, and I respect them for this respect. The people like the mayor, they would not start a press meeting a press conference until KVC showed up. If we were late, our news guy was late, they'd wait for him.
Right.
So that's pretty good. I mean, that shows respect. But here's the thing that didn't happen between news organizations. It didn't happen with KPRL. It didn't happen with KSMA and Santa Maria at that time. KUHL used to have a lot of news. You had the Tribune. You had KSBY. There was never any finger-pointing and name-calling.
Right.
I mean, that just didn't happen.
Right.
It never, ever, 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 ever happened. If you happen to scoop the Tribune, fine. Good for you. And heavens knows, you know, the news directors that did it had big smiles on their faces all day long. If the Tribune scooped us, same thing, you know. But there wasn't, like, some kind of thing where you have to point to somebody and say, you're obviously of low standard.
Well, not only that, but, I'm trying to think back to the, you know, in the good old days, every newspaper in town would be chasing a story down, you know. But what we see now is, if, let's say, Cal Coast News scoops a story and then is tracking it, everyone else immediately turns their back and walks away. It's like, oh, never mind.
Well, and the other thing
is, they don't really focus on it.
And this is interesting because...
Which is strange.
This is very interesting because the Tribune, Bob Cuddy, and the Shredder in the New Times, you know, basically pointed fingers and called Karen Vealey names over this story. And yet I've seen Karen Vealey say this, you know, this according, you know, in parentheses that, like, New Times is the one that came out with it. And she sat here and told me, she said, boy, New Times came out with a great story.
Right.
Yeah, she doesn't get angry at him. She doesn't do anything. She just, I'm not sure I understand the personalities involved in all this thing, but I think it's really, I think it's a shame. I think it's,
well,
instead of serving the public.
It's a complete failure of the news biz in this county.
Well, instead of serving the public, they become self-serving.
Exactly.
And that's like, that's not what you're there for. You know,
yeah.
That's not your
and
job.
And it's sort of like, well, if you scooped me on this story, that could, and it could be a huge story, well, I'm not going to play. I'm going to take my marbles and go home. And that's not what covering news is about. And I can understand if you don't want to, if you want to try to play the high road and don't mention sex or anything that's, you know, iffy. This particular story, there was a couple of good, solid, non-sex things that needed to be looked at. So go look at it.
And here's the other thing, too. For gosh sakes, you know, we're all adults, please. And if there is a sex element involved in it and there's someone bringing a lawsuit because of that, would you ignore that? I mean, you'd ignore
in
it. But
this,
like,
county, I guess.
I don't know. Like we said, you know, Karen and I were sitting here today and I said, okay, let's put the sex thing aside. There was three huge other components to what was going on in Paso Robles with the police chief.
Right.
Go after those. Go, just take one of them and go after it.
Yeah, see, the Trib should have been all over the story. I mean that sincerely.
I know.
They're the major newspaper record, and they just sort of turned their back and went, oh, never mind.
You know what's really – here's another –
and that's just okay, but
here's,
completely unacceptable.
Here's another reality, though, and I'm going to share it, I think. And that is, it's just that financially, news organizations that used to be boomers are not. Newspapers that used to have a huge staff that would go after everything in the whole wide world, they don't. I don't imagine the Tribune actually does. If Bob Cuddy or Bill Morham or somebody writes a column, that's okay. I mean, that's, it's opinion.
Right.
And at least it's something. But I just don't think the resources are there. So Karen Vealy, sort of seeing this a long time ago, said, okay, nobody's doing anything on the Internet by themselves. And what if you just did investigative reporting?
Well, see, the Tribune isn't even trying. I don't think they even try.
I don't know that they do either. I don't know they have the budget to do it.
Well, then what's the point? I mean, what's the point of them?
Well, they have right here.
It's a rip and read, API rip and read, and Little Hollywood News, and something you can haul off the Internet and paste it down, and then say, okay, I'm done.
Here, this is worth it, though, because my old running mate, Dave Congleton, was in the paper today because Limbaugh foes want KVC to dump him. Now, here's the amazing thing about, and so Dave Congleton saying, if you don't like it, don't listen, which is sort of, I have to admit, I feel the same way. I used to do a class for one of the people out of Cuesta, and so I'd get a little cheap radio at Thrifty's, $3 radio. And I'd say, here, you can listen to this station, you can listen to this station. I don't know if you don't want to listen to either one of them. I'd smash the radio on the podium. I'd say, don't listen. Anyway, so it was a dramatic effect. But so Dave Congleton's saying, if you don't like Rush Limbaugh, don't listen to him. The other part of that is the people we see letter after letter in the newspaper defending Rush Limbaugh for this particular debacle. Then the other thing that's fascinating, totally fascinating, you have to understand the power of a man who has lost, temporarily I would imagine too, 100 sponsors. 100 sponsors. I can't think of a radio station, a TV station, anything that has 100 sponsors.
Well, the other interesting thing about today's story that I found fascinating, because the one question I have in with KVC, and you and I talked about this earlier, what are the programming standards? In other words, and the manager apparently doesn't want to answer that question. In other words, if Dave Congleton had said exactly what Rush Limbaugh had said on the air, would he have been fired? And if he would have been fired, then why isn't Rush getting basically fired? And then if that's totally up to the manager of the station or the station owner or whatever, and there are no standards, then it seems to me they should say that. We have no standards at the station. Anything goes. And I think that's the unanswered question here, is Rush Limbaugh a kind of community standard? And if the answer is yeah, then, sure, great.
I think he is. I mean, I think Rush Limbaugh's listenership is great enough that I don't think if they said there's like 450 signatures that say we don't want
right.
to run, that that doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Right.
And then we had a call today. There was a call, and Tom had me listen to it just for the grins. And here was a guy who called up, wouldn't identify himself. He was saying, "You people are cowards. You people are cowards." And it's because that we have sort of a new lineup here that had nothing to do with it. Really, wasn't our juggernaut that took place. One of the main people on the radio during the day here, he decided to change his time, so everything else had to change. So, but I forget, please forgive me, I don't know who it is that the guy wanted to listen to. It's nobody. I have to say this.
Well, Carell was.
Well, not Carell. It was somebody else that used to be on this Air America.
Well, in the
thing.
Afternoon, the guy that does the save your money and
really. So he was really
thing.
Mad.
He's been bounced up to 8 o'clock.
Okay, but he was really mad about the fact that we had the guy on. See,
well,
here's
Hartman is on at 6, so he.
Here's
moved,
what they want.
That's all.
Here's what they want. Here's the interesting thing, and let's understand this: the people that listened to Air America when it was Air America, it's not anymore. But this station is still what they like to call progressive. I don't like the fact that that word has been hijacked by anybody, but let's call it left-leaning. And that's okay. And so I appear in the middle of that as being none of the above. And so that perplexed everybody when that happened, and it caused a lot of hate and unhappiness. Dave Congleton has, not through his own doing, he's now in the middle of a very conservative radio station as far as the people that are the, you know, main stars on there. Well, it has nothing to do with really what Dave's about either. But that's just the way it is. That's how radio's done. And the fact that we have a few local talk shows, most people feel like, well, that's worthwhile to have a few local talk shows.
There should be more.
You know,
there used to be more.
Yeah, there used to be more. But
yeah,
I forget who it was that this guy. I'm so sorry, I don't know.
What disappeared? Just didn't get
I'll tell you what,
it
wasn't somebody that was on recently. That's all I know. I'm trying to. If Tom is listening, please, Tom, come in and tell me the guy's name. Anyway, it was somebody that was on Air America, and I guess
but
he's.
That was ages
I guess
ago.
Well, I know, but I guess he's an I guess he's an independent now, and so that's the deal. And so he said, and then he said further. He said, "Why don't you people sell this radio station to someone that cares about it and wants to do progressive talk?" The radio station just goes and it does what it does, you know. Now, if they decided that it was a total failure to have progressive radio on KYNS, and Clark Howard didn't help with the money coming in, and Bill Benneke didn't help with the money coming in, then that'd be one thing. But that's just not how it works. You know, the part that so disturbs me, and I have to tell you, and it would be the same thing also with Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Dave Congleton, that whole thing there. The idea of raising enough revenue to keep a radio station going is obviously paramount. That's the thing that's really, really important. And you can't just say to somebody, well, you should do it all this way if that's not working to raise enough revenue.
Right.
And so what happened was a certain salesperson was hired here who has had a great deal of success in selling Clark Howard in the past. And she said, if you get Clark Howard back on or get him on this station, I know for a fact I can sell him and get a lot of money for him. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Well, if we have somebody on here like Carell who doesn't make us a dime.
Right.
The people don't seem to understand it. Doesn't well, how do you run the radio station with that?
Well, see, that's the only one that I think is missing is Carell missing, I guess.
And
they just moved Clark Howard.
I wish they could.
Because I used to listen to him. He's fascinating. I learn a lot, you know.
I wish my engineer would stick his head in the door and tell me what the name of the guy was. He said. Anyway,
yeah.
It's one of the people that used to be on Air America. And we haven't had him on for a long time. I recognize the name, but he hasn't been here for the longest time. And the guy's right that makes the call. We're not necessarily deliberately going out and trying to find everybody that's considered progressive. We're trying to find a combination of stuff that we can make a living at.
Right.
You know. And so Randy Rhodes was brought back.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people happy with that. It's just, you know.
Well, it's like doing a television lineup where you have new shows and you try it here and try it there and try it in that time slot. And sometimes if you hit it right, you've got a very successful season. Other times you're flailing around trying to find the right mix that people want to watch. And it's got to change because your lineup always changes as the interest changes.
Well, and the fates and fortunes, you're right, of how things happen, you know, there's a lot of outside influence on all of a sudden what's succeeding and what's not succeeding.
Right.
And that's just, you know, look at the weird thing that happened with Dustin Hoffman, who was starring in this, I never watched it one time, I think it was called Luck.
It was fabulous.
And it had to do with horse racing and all that. Well, they're taking it off the air. Because
well,
three horses died in the process of making this show.
There was some. Now the info is coming out that the reader, I was going to say readership, they didn't have high numbers of viewers.
Oh, they didn't.
And apparently there was some squabbling over creative differences among the writers or the producers. And so it was probably, in real terms, it may have been just a perfect storm. They weren't really. If that had been a hit show, it'd still be on. And I don't care if the horse bodies were piled up to the ceiling. It wouldn't matter. So it was a confluence, I think, of ratings problems, cost of production, and squabbles within the writers.
Well, and here's the interesting thing.
And then you also, oh, darn, we had a couple of horses die, and now we got PETA on our behind, and so it's like, oh, forget it, we'll walk, you know.
And I would imagine, I have no idea, I don't know how much people make, but I would imagine these actors that are coming from huge movie careers.
Oh, yeah, big. The cost on that, you could, if you watched it, all nine series will probably be out on Netflix in a few months, you know, as a series, like they did with the Sopranos. You can buy the first season or whatever, you know, Netflix it. The production values were extraordinarily high, and it was really an extraordinary piece of work. It's a shame it couldn't get its run, because it was really, it was very much like The Wire in the way it was structured, and it took its time developing these storylines that were all interconnected.
But see, here's again a situation where you have what you think is going to absolutely work, and it didn't work.
Yep.
And, you know, the cable networks, the premium networks now, HBO, Starz, Cinemax, and all those people, you know, they're hugely competitive in trying to get programming on the air that's going to succeed.
Oh, it's getting crazier. USA, TNT.
You betcha.
I mean, the second tier are absolutely giving them a run for their money, because if you look at, like, Justified, Southland,
Watch Mythbusters. I watch National Geo.
There's a lot of stuff and original programming.
I watch a lot of stuff I've never watched before, I'm fascinated by it. I will go home, and around 5 o'clock, I'll sit down before the news starts and say, "Let me see what else is on tonight." And I used to just say, "Okay, what's on the main channels? You know, the commercial channels, and then what's movies are playing?"
Right.
I don't do that anymore. I'll start right at the very number one and go to community programming, and then go one after the other to find out what's on.
Well, there's a lot of original programming coming on now with Starz is in the game now, TNT, USA, AMC with Breaking Bad and Mad Men. I mean, high quality that's starting to win Emmys and so forth. So it's really, they're giving HBO and a run for their money, and Showtime, you know, as far as original programming.
There was a, I put it on my DVD, my DVR. There was a show last Sunday, and I'm sure it'll repeat, and it was on KQED, and it had to do with, or was it National Geographic Station?
Well, they had, is that the Frozen?
The Frozen North.
Yeah, that's a new thing, and it's 2 hours, and I think it's going to be every Sunday, and they were running it on, I think, Animal Planet.
Maybe
Discover,
yeah.
And National Geographic are one of those.
But here's the thing. I looked for it this Sunday and didn't see it.
Oh.
So that was weird, because I thought it was going to be a series also. But maybe
I
missed it. I'm going to look again.
I thought it was a six-parter.
Anyway, it's, again, one of these amazingly wonderful things they do nowadays with the photography they have and everything else. It's just fascinating.
Yeah. Just amazing. I think it's the same people that did
The Earth.
The Earth series or the oceans or whatever.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun because, you know, you look at all this new technology and you see all this stuff they do with CG and you see all these crazy things they do with monsters and aliens and all that. But the other thing that's happened is, it was part of this whole cinematography thing, is their ability to do these wonderful, wonderful nature things they couldn't even touch before.
Yeah.
You know, that one where they did the migrating, it had to do with migrations, and they were doing the birds.
Yep.
They actually put up little tiny camera things and little helicopters, little drones, in order to fly with them.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that technology back then. So, I mean, it's really fascinating what they can do.
Yeah, it is. Well, plus, it's all the solid base, of course, are crazy people willing to put themselves in the most horrendous situations
to sit there
for hours.
You're right.
With a camera waiting, and they're beyond extraordinary.
What did Disney have? We used to watch Walt Disney World, and it was The Vanishing Prairie, I think.
Oh, they had a whole series, The Living Desert, The Vanishing Prairie.
Same guy did the narration.
Frogs, they did. That was probably one of the early pioneers of that whole deal. And those were out in the movie theaters at the time. They were like a big deal.
Yeah.
That whole series that he did, and I still remember that.
There is one thing I need to say, please, and they did it with the Frozen North or whatever that movie thing was called. I don't need to see. It's not like it's a big deal, but, you know, you got kids and whatnot, and here's this wonderful.
No.
I don't need to see the animals making animals.
Well, they are eating them in slow-mo, you know. I mean, past a certain point, you go, okay, I get it. Dead. It's dinner, you know.
I tell this story. I was going through Sears one time, and they had all the TVs turned to the same channel, and it was an animal thing. And all of a sudden, these two elephants started mating. And here the kids are screaming, and the moms are going crazy.
Yeah. Mommy, Daddy,
and so I went past the salesman.
Never mind,
I said,
kid.
I went past the salesman and said, I was not a good choice. Holy cow.
Move along, kid.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
See here.
Actually, this is cute. When my son was just a little boy, and he was about, I'd say, 5, 6 years old. Maybe seven. So anyway, we went to the Santa Barbara Zoo, and of all things in the whole wide world, you take the oddest-looking animal that exists to begin with, and it's an anteater, and they have a mating pair of anteaters there. Well, as we walked by, that's when they decide to be mating. And so my son said, "What's going on there, Dad?" And I said, "I think they're wrestling." And then he looked at me just calmly and said, "No, Dad, they're making baby anteaters." I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine."
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Talk to your mom.
Yeah. Go talk to your mom.
Talk to mom. And I appreciate your call.
All right. Have a good
talk
day.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Dr. Carol Phillips invites you to the Swiss Dental Center to discuss the wonderful new possibilities to make your mouth look and work like it should. Teeth. They come, they go, they come again. And then when they go the second time, it's goodbye forever. There's nothing you can do about the aging process that starts the loss of your permanent teeth. It's a bummer. But now you have two choices, false teeth and bridges and the pasty goop necessary to make those objects try and cling to your gums and the roof of your mouth, or 21st century implants offered by Swiss Dental Center. Identical to the real teeth you've lost without any more problems. Imagine, Dr. Carol Phillips can make it possible to chew normally, to eat normally, to actually enjoy chewing and eating normally. If you have tooth loss for whatever reason, go to SwissDentalCenter.com and let others tell you what Dr. Carol Phillips has done to help their lives. Dr. Carol Phillips, the most experienced tooth implant specialist on the Central Coast. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Corral and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
See you there. Dun, dun. I know what it was now. I know. It was a guy named Mike Malloy. I'm not sure how familiar I am with Mike Malloy, but anyway, but this guy was like really mad that we weren't carrying Mike Malloy, and I can tell you that there was no conscious decision made to have him or not have him. I'm almost sure.
Here comes to dry.
I'm here. All right, we're listening to Jim Brickman and Company. I'm saying Company because he's got other people that are in there singing with him, so that's what's going on. Here at Bill Talkers Chief Friends and Neighbors Network, I appreciate you joining me today, and we've hardly had a chance to get anywhere near our newspaper today, so let's see if we can do a little. We did a little bit. All right, let's see if we can find out. One thing I want to tell you right away. Well, the French police, you know this guy that went and shot these people? The French police gunman, they were going to try to get him to surrender in a standoff. He decided to die. So, and he was a Muslim who said, I want to go out like this. So he ended up going out like that. So him's dead. So that's what happened to that. All right. Let's see. Oh, by the way, did we talk about? I don't think we talked about this the other day. Did we? Maybe we did. I can't remember. I can't remember, but I'll talk about it now. And this now, understanding that this girl had some kind of a unusual heart condition, but it was never thought to be serious for any particular reason. But anyway, she drank two of these energy drinks. It's called Monster Energy drinks. They're like Red Bull and whatnot. And she died. Now she died. So this whole thing about pounding down a lot of caffeine, I find kind of strange, to tell you the truth. I have having worked for Slow Roasted Coffee for all that time, I find it daunting that people will consume the amount of caffeine they consume. I don't. First, I want to get hooked on it, because if you can get hooked. Now, they're saying good things about coffee and caffeine. They really are. They're saying generally good stuff. But you get hooked on it, you know, and then try to stop, you're going to get headaches and all kinds of stuff. It's not easy. Now, here's the honest thing. Susan Cole of Denver stood out in a jury pool last summer with mismatched socks and shoes and her hair in curlers. District Judge Ann Mansfield dismissed the cosmetologist and author from jury duty after Cole said she broke out of domestic violence in the military and had post-traumatic stress disorder. But when Cole told a radio show months later that she went to court developed to appear mentally ill, she went to court disheveled to appear mentally ill, the judge was listening. The Denver Post reports that prosecutors charged Cole on Wednesday with perjury and attempting to influence a public servant. An arrest affidavit says Cole felt emotionally drained and unprepared to serve by the jury after wrongly believing her cousin was in a fatal accident. However, investigators say Cole couldn't prove she was diagnosed with PTSD. That's what happens to you. All right, here's another thing going on here in Barnstable, Maine, Massachusetts. Get a vasectomy, eat some pizza, and watch some basketball. That's the idea behind a promotion by a Massachusetts urologist group that's offering a free pizza to vasectomy patients during March Madness. The administrator with the Urology Association of Cape Cod says it's a lighthearted way to raise awareness from the procedure and draw business. Even Evan Cohen tells the Cape Cod Times that getting a vasectomy during the NCAA playoffs is the perfect time because typically a day or two of recovery is needed following the operation, so it goes without saying anything. There you are right there. Slam dunk. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Jeff Foxworthy is going to host a Bible game show on GSN, which used to be for Game Show Network or something. And anyway, so I don't know. I guess we get GSN, I don't know. So he's going to ask me, after watching, now maybe people are much better with the Bible, I have no idea, but when you watch jaywalking, you know, with Jay Leno, and you're embarrassed to be an American, you know, hope it works out, all right. State struggles to make quake warning system. Experts say a major disaster would motivate more funding and research in California. You think? Eh? You think maybe? They're just saying that unless you watch your dog or your cat or the elephants or the seals or some animals that can react to this whole thing that's going on, they're just saying basically that, I think scientists are admitting that they really don't have a way to do this well. You know, I mean, and you think about it, you have pressure in these tectonic plates and everything, and you know, there's no way to determine, I don't think, exactly how much pressure has to build up in a tectonic plate in order for it to slip. That's what's happened when the earthquake has happened, but to predict it before it happens is a little bit tough. It's not like we have some big pressure gauge we can shove down in between the tectonic plates and say, okay, we're going to monitor the pressure. We don't have that. Okay, we don't have that right now. And here's a picture of dead salmon in the banks of the Klamath River in Northern California in 2002. Another tough summer should be shaping up for the salmon and farmers in the Klamath Basin of Southern Oregon and Northern California. Klamath County commissioners in Klamath declared a drought Tuesday, the first step towards state and federal drought declarations that would trigger and programs allow farmers to pump emergency wells for irrigation. Anyway, with a record return of more than 380,000 salmon predicted for the Klamath Basin, three times more than recorded numbers, the snowpacks running below normal, biologists are concerned conditions could be shaping up for a repeat of 2002 when tens of thousands of adult salmon died before they could spawn in the Klamath River. Man, oh man, boy, this weather is just completely absurd. You know, just nutty, nutty, nutty. All over the place. Hot weather where it shouldn't be hot, cold weather where it shouldn't be cold, rain where they didn't expect it. The drought's still plaguing Texas. Unbelievable. Well, here was a thing here I was going to tell you about. This is weird. Well, no, that's the military. I should have said it's weird. I apologize. After Afghan killing suspect's arrest, the military tried to delete him from the web. They say, besides waiting nearly a week before identifying the Army staff sergeant accused of killing 16 Afghan villagers, the U.S. military scrubbed his websites of references to his combat service. Gone were photographs of the suspect, Staff Sergeant Robert Bates, as well as a recounting in his base's newspaper of a 2007 battle in Iraq involving his unit, a report that quoted him extensively. But they weren't really gone. Given the myriad ways that information remains accessible on the Internet, despite the best efforts to remove it, the material about Bales was still out there and available, such as in cached versions of web pages. For the minutes of the Pentagon's leaking his name, Friday evening news organizations, others found and published his pictures, the account of the battle, which depicts Bales and other soldiers in a glowing light, and excerpts from his wife's personal blog. It's the it's social media. It's a, you know, if it's out there, it's out there. It's out there. It's out there. They say a death penalty for the sergeant is not likely. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says the death penalty is possible if the U.S. military court finds Robert Bales guilty, but it isn't likely. History shows the U.S. military system is slow to convict Americans of alleged war crimes, and when punishment is imposed, it can range anywhere from life in prison all the way down to house arrest. That besides turning them over to the Afghans so that they can, you know, just string them up or stone to death or whatever, slit his throat, whatever, anything less than that they're not going to like anyway, so it doesn't really matter, does it? Protests spread as Florida City rebukes police for teen's death, and as I just told you, the mayor stopped down, stepped down temporarily. Trayvon Martin's name was chanted by thousands of demonstrators. And I, you know, it's one of those things that they have some weird laws in Florida that are not understandable to the average person like myself, or below average. So it's just absurd that this guy could shoot this kid, claim it's, he didn't claim it was self-defense. You don't have to claim it's self-defense. And he's, there's nothing, he's not arrested. I don't, it's like, what? This is in a gated community. Supreme Court expands the rights of the accused in plea bargains. This is very interesting, I thought. Defendants have a right to effective lawyers when negotiating deals, the justice says. Criminal defendants have a constitutional right to effective lawyers during plea negotiations, the Supreme Court ruled in 5-4 decision. Decision means that what used to be informal and unregulated deal-making is now subject to new constraints when bad legal advice leads defendants to reject favorable plea offers. So it's like you don't know what to do. If you're accused, you know, you don't know this. You don't know how the system works. But your lawyer's supposed to know. And if your lawyer doesn't know, that's a problem. That's a problem right there. Other things happen. Other things going on. Now, we may not be able to predict. Earthquakes. The researchers are closing in on a test to predict heart attacks. They benefit kinds of patients who pass a stress test, then have an attack soon after. Then they had good news the other day about aspirin. I'm one of these people who takes a little aspirin, baby aspirin, day, and it says it really lowers your chance of having heart attacks, which is not what you take it for. Is that what you take it for? It lowers your chance of something else. Cancer. I think it lowers your chance of cancer. And they don't know why. They don't know why aspirin does what it does anyway. So there you go. Doctors are one step closer to a simple test that could predict whether a patient is about to have a heart attack by using a blood sample that detects cells that have sloughed off damaged blood vessel walls. The finding published in the Science Translational Medicine could potentially address the greatest unmet need facing cardiologists. Well, you got to be laying there and about to have a heart attack, though. Is that what's going on? When someone is having the real deal, we know that. The real question is something percolating in their artery. We'd like to prevent the heart attack from happening or mitigate its effects with drugs. New technique involves tracking a type of cell in the blood called a circulating and endothelial cell. Endothelial cells create a wrapper that lines the inside of blood vessels. When the vessel is damaged, endothelial cells break away and enter the bloodstream. That's what we're looking for right there. Endothelial amniocytes, mother, sons of a gun. I'm making sure they're not getting around there. And lastly today, Messenger reveals surprises on Mercury, unexpected layers found within the planet's core, and scientists see signs of tectonic activity. But I can tell you this right now. Let me see this again here. I'm going to tell you this right now. I can almost assure you that the Mercurians can no longer or couldn't no better predict earthquakes than we can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's what the lineup is tomorrow. It looks like we're not having Karen and Mark as we had today, but we will have Jim D come in at 105. And we'll yak and talk about things going on at the movies because there's a huge movie opening tomorrow. And then Jim's got some new stuff, too, that are really cool. So we'll get together tomorrow at noon and talk about all of these things. Until then, my other trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet
all I need is you more.
stood still, but the colors fade.